So good evening. Yes. Good evening. What is your question?
Now the question is like this: why the Torah will give the name of a parsha from a rasha? Okay, but the traditional answer is because he was sincere. He hated the Jews and he wanted to get rid of the Jews.
No, I'll ask you a different question. If we're going this way, why isn't the parsha called Bilam?
Because he didn't say
because
that
the one who is doing the problem now, parsha is not Balak, is Bilam.
Yeah, but Bilam, he tried to elude that he doesn't hate the Jews. But Balak was straight. He said, I hate him, so he is sincere. But in this way, we have a lot of Rasha sincere, and they didn't give the name of the Parshot of the others. So there is another answer.
Okay. A very, very nice question. And I'll ask a few other questions in order to make this question even stronger. If somebody knows God, normally he would listen to God. Yes? We normally think that only the Jews have a connection with God. The truth is that when we look through the Bible, especially, by the way, Sefer Bereshit. The Sefer Bereshit is full from the beginning to the end with God talking to Goyim. To not Jews, he's talking with Avimelech, he's talking with Pharaoh, he's talking all the time with people, with Laban of Russia. And in our parsha also, he's talking with Bilam. Nevertheless, our parsha is even a bigger problem, because Bilam says quite openly, Yodea Da'at Elyon, I listen to God and I know God. I know what God thinks. So, okay, if you know what God thinks, so you should be a great tzaddik. Is he a tzaddik?
No.
Balak! Do you think he doesn't believe in God? This guy stands 3 times, 7 altars, plenty sacrifices to whom?
To Hashem.
To God. So in other words, he's also a great believer. So I think that the big lesson of parsha, that's why it's called Balak. The big lesson of our parsha is you can believe in God and still go against it. And that's an unbelievable conclusion. Unbelievable to understand and realize that people believe in God. In other words, they know the power of God. And it gets to the level of asking God to doing absurd things that a normal person wouldn't even dare to ask. And why do I say it? Because if we look in the parsha and read it a little, you will find out from the surface that Bilam is a tzaddik, not a rasha. Balak comes, sends messengers to Bilam, asking him to come and curse Am Israel. What is Bilam telling the messengers? You have to stay here for the night, and I will check with God, and whatever God tells me to do,
I will do.
They stay the night, and God reveals himself to Bilam and tells him, you're not going. Bilam Arasha wakes up in the morning, tells the people,
I'm not going.
Why?
Because Hashem told me.
Because God told me not to go. Okay. Is this not a tzaddik? Not only a tzaddik. Kiddush Hashem. Telling those messengers, I am a believer in God and I tell you right in front, whatever God is telling me to do, I'm doing. He told me not to go, I'm not going. Oh. Not a tzaddik? Of course a tzaddik. Then Balak thinks to himself, maybe the messengers I sent were in a very low level. I should send higher level. So he sends higher level. And they come to Bilam. And Bilam says, you know what? Okay, stay the night. I'll check again with God. He checks with God. And God tells them, you can go, but you will say whatever I'm telling you to say. Okay? What is he doing in the morning? Running with the people. He says, okay, I'm coming. God told me I can go. In other words, he's doing exactly what God is telling him to do. Afterwards, when he comes and wants us to curse, God tells him, you're not going to curse, you're going to bless. What is he doing? Blessing. Nevertheless, those blessings are so beautiful that our sages thought about putting them in the tefillah, in the prayer book. But because it was a little too long, they decided that's tircha de tzibura, and they didn't put it in. And one of the most famous one is Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkenotecha
Yisrael. We say every day in the morning. In the shul.
So you tell me what's going on here.
I told you.
But the words changed. Yes, he was cursing.
No.
But
when you read, you even see in the end, the last blessing, he says, he saw that God doesn't want him to curse, so now he is blessing from himself. That's the way it's written. So, you know, if we wouldn't think a lot, we would think that really we're dealing here with a tzaddik. But the point is, very simple. If I come to you and tell you, I want your permission to kill your child, curse him, hit him, what would you say? No. What would you think about me?
You're crazy.
I'm a shigana. You come to parents and asking them to kill their child? Bilam says, I know God. So if you know God, you know that Am Israel are the children of God. So you're going to ask the father to curse the children? Are you insane? So from this, we already understand that something here is terribly wrong. And we see it also when, what is he saying? Tamot nafshi mot yesharim v'ti achariti kamo. He says he wants to die like Am Yisrael. What does it mean? He wants Olam Haba. He wants the next world. And nevertheless says mot yesharim. What is mot yesharim? I want to die like the straight people of Am Yisrael. Is he straight?
No.
He's all crooked. So what's going on here? And if we want to ask a few more questions, God told Bilam, don't go. Then he tells him, go. Then after he goes, he tries to stop him with the donkey, 3 times.
With the angel.
With the angel. What's going on here? You told him to go. Now you want to stop him? You know, this whole parsha is very complicated.
Is he hoping that he'll change his mind?
Yeah, but God gave him a permission to go. Now he's doing what God agrees. That's what he's doing. But then, you have the story with the angel and the donkey. So we have to understand what's going on here. And also, what are those games? In the beginning, he tells him, don't go. The second day, he tells him, go. Either go or don't go.
Because when he told him the first time, don't go,
yes,
even if Balak sent him 20,000 people, he doesn't ask again to Hashem. Hashem told him once, don't go,
finished.
Why he's asking again?
So you're talking from the side of Bilam.
Yeah, I'm talking Bilam from the side wanted of God. To go from the beginning.
Okay, so I'm asking you a different question. You're right. That's a puzzle on Bilam. But we see already that this guy is a little crazy. But I'm asking from the point of view of God. Why is God playing the game? Why is God telling him one day, don't go, the next day, go, and then we have the whole thing, this old charade with the donkey. What's going on? And the donkey talks with the Bilam. We have to understand. It's not a story. Something to learn. Okay. Let's see what's happening. Let's try and understand what's going on. Okay. First of all, Or HaHaim HaKadosh says a very simple thing. God wanted everybody to know that Shalshelet HaKelev Beyad Be'alav. You know, when you go on the street with a dog, is chained. And when you want, You take him, you stop him, and when you want, you let him go. But he's always
in the chain.
And that what God wanted everybody to know. That Bilam
is like
a dog chained to God, and he doesn't do anything without God's permission. So, in the beginning, if God would have told him, don't go, what would people think? He is afraid from Bilam. Because if Bilam would go, he would curse, and it would happen. Because otherwise, why doesn't he let him go? From the other point of view, he wanted to show them that he can go, and even if he goes, he still would not curse because God doesn't want him to curse. In other words, this is not a game. This is showing us who is in control. But the real idea is that this guy Bilam is at a very high spiritual level. Talking to God, it's not something simple. Now, if you talk with God and you understand that what you're doing is really wrong, and God tells you you're not going to curse them, you're going to bless. So why are you running now? Are you running to bless Am Israel? What do you think? Definitely not. He wouldn't run to bless Am Israel because he wants to curse them. In other words, even after God lets him go and tells him, you're not going to say whatever you want, you're going to say what I am saying, he's still playing games in his mind. So then God warns him. Because at the end of the day, he really did Kiddush Hashem. Because think about it, like all those people coming to him, and he tells them, I'm listening to God. And he's doing exactly what God is telling him to do. So this is Kiddush Hashem. You should reward him. So then that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu told him in the second time, Im likro lecha ba'u anashim, if they came for you, lecha is always for your own benefit. Like the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Abraham Avinu, lech lecha, letovatcha, is for your own favor, right? Because Abraham Avinu left a place where everybody hated him, and he went to a place where he would be a big leader, will have children, will have nations listen to him. And here also, God is trying to warn him. If you're going to go, make sure it is for your own benefit. Now, you have the power, because I gave you powers. You can check. You have all the systems that you can check what's going to happen. He was a prophet. But he doesn't check. Because he's got something motivating him, which is, I want to curse Am Israel. And it happens also today. You have those people, they want to kill us. They don't care if they're going to be killed also. They commit suicide, they do whatever. The main thing is, they're going to hurt Am Israel. And the same story is with Bilam. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to warn him. So he goes with the donkey. And the donkey stops 3 times. Why 3 times? He says, listen, every time it's written, Shlosha Regalim. Ah. What is Regalim? Why is it written Shalosh Shlosha Pe'amim? Why Shlosha Regalim? What's Regalim? Shloshet Regalim. Pesach, Shavuot, Vesukot. And the angels also telling the same thing. Why did you hit your donkey 3 Regalim? Not 3 times. Shalosh Regalim. And we'll connect it to another thing. There is this famous story when David HaMelech was doing what he did with Bathsheba. And we're not going to go to the discussion, did he sin, didn't sin. The fact is, the prophet comes to him and tells him a story. It was this rich guy. Mm-hmm. And he had a poor neighbor. This poor neighbor had only 1 sheep, while the rich guy had flocks with no end. And this poor guy had 1 sheep that he loved like his daughter. And a visitor came, and the rich guy took the poor guy's lamb, slaughtered it, and gave it to eat to the visitor he had. What do you think is his punishment? Asking the prophet David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, death. He says, you are the guy. But that's not the story I'm going to talk about. Why in this story we also have three times? And if you look at the three times, you will find out something also very interesting. When we talk about Vayavo Helech LaIsha Ashir, the man who is coming to visit the rich guy is called Helech. Okay? Vayachmol Lakachat Mitzono Umibkaro Laasot Laoreach. The Helech is now an Oreach, a guest. Vayikach et kivsat ha'ish harash vayaseh la'ish haba elav. Now, the guy is called Ish. What's going on here?
Elech,
Oreach,
and Ish. Those are the three levels that you go in life when you fight Yetzer Hara. The same story with the donkey. The beginning, it's in the field. There is a lot of space to run away, to go backwards, to the side, and not go with Yetzer Hara. Then it's getting narrower. It's a wall here, a wall there, but still, you can do a U-turn and go back. You cannot go to the sides, but you can do a U-turn and go back. Then there is no way. No turning, not to the right, not to the left, and not U-turn, only straight. In other words, the point of no return. And that's what's happening in our parasha, and that's the story with those two people, the rich guy and the poor guy and the guest. In the beginning, Yetzer Hara knocks at your door. He is a Elech. Elech is somebody who is walking on the street. Elech, Olech. You've got no connection with him. You can just tell him, Yetzer Hara, do me a favor, bye-bye. Don't want to know about you. Don't go into my house. I'm not letting you in. But unfortunately, you let him in. When you let him in, he's not a Elech anymore. He's now a guest.
Yes.
And as a guest, you have to honor him. But you still can tell this distinguished guest, Yetzer Hara, I know I did a mistake. I took you home. But you know, we do all due respect.
Go away.
Go away. Then, if you still didn't send him away, he becomes a Ish. He is the Balabait. He is the Ish. He is on controlling you. And that's the point of no return. The same way with the donkey. The beginning, field. Then, two walls. Then, the point of no return, and the angel reveals himself to Bilam, and Bilam says, oh, sorry, if God doesn't want me to go, maybe I shouldn't go, I'll go back. He says, sorry, you had your chance. And instead of going back, what did you do? Hit your donkey three times. Three regalim. Now, that's the way. בדרך שאדם רוצה ללך, מולכים אותו. In a way that a person wants to go, God is going to lead him. In other words, it's not like I decide to do wrong and God is going to let me doing wrong. No, he's going to try and prevent me. But I have to understand. Don't make the one who's going on the street to your guest. And definitely don't make him the balabait. While you have the chance to go back, do it. Because God wants, even with Bilam HaRasha, he wanted him to try and learn and choose right. But Bilam HaRasha, he doesn't even see the angel. And he has to go to a level that the donkey, his donkey is talking with him. Now, why is the donkey talking with him? What's the idea behind? You know, the angel could reveal himself to them. And that's it. Why did the donkey open its mouth?
He's conscious. Something
inside. A donkey in Hebrew, aton is a female, but a donkey is a chamor. What is a chamor? Chamor is chomer. Chomer is material. In other words, if you walk after the materialistic things in life, then you get to, of course, to the way of Yetzer Hara. Now, what he did with this donkey is not such nice things as the when we look to the Mefarshim. They say that he was even doing what you do with normally between men and women. He did it with his donkey.
Yes, but he's not written.
The donkey is talking with him. Now, if you go in the street with your dog, you say, Puchi Muchi, Puchi Muchi. Did you see your dog answering to you? Now imagine to yourself, the donkey is answering him and he's got a whole discussion.
Yeah.
Why? Don't answer the donkey. Leave it alone and that's it. Why is he even answering the donkey?
Because he is so blind that he cannot even see.
There is a very interesting point here. You see, can a donkey lie?
No.
Why?
Because it's a dog.
Because a donkey goes on instinct. He cannot lie. He doesn't know how to lie. A human being can lie?
Yes.
In other words, whatever this donkey is saying now is true or a lie?
True.
100% truth. So he has to answer. Because the donkey is telling the truth, only the truth and nothing but the truth. And the truth is not so nice. So if he doesn't answer, it means that the donkey is 100% right and he is 100% wrong. That's why we have here, God is telling us, you see, if you get to a level of a donkey, so you have to talk with the donkey. And when you talk with the donkey, there are no lies. Only the truth. In other words, there is no escape from standing in front of the truth, and it doesn't matter how ugly this truth is, you're confronting the truth. And after you didn't understand and you got to this low level, you also got another thing. You got to the point of no return. So now we start to understand what's going on here. God wants us to understand the one who is in control is only God. And it doesn't matter who you are and what you are and what powers you've got, you can also get to a level of trying and go against God. And that's what Bilam HaRasha is doing. God is telling us he can try, he can want to do whatever he wants, but at the end of the day, God is in control and nobody can go against God, no matter who you are and what you are. From the other side, God is showing us, look to what level he got, this prophet, this guy who God was talking with him. Look to what level he's talking with what? With a donkey. A stalking laugh, that's how you say, a laughing stalk.
But yeah. I don't understand the Shalosh Regalim.
Very good. Now we get to the Shalosh Regalim. How do I fight Yetzer Hara? So the Torah is telling us, if you keep Shalosh Regalim, you can fight Yetzer Hara. What's the idea behind it? As we say, it's like a car. And a car works on petrol. And petrol doesn't last forever. So you have to go to a gas station and fill up petrol. The Shalosh Regalim, and it's not only the Shalosh Regalim is a symbol of a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I'm not going to go into it. Three is always a very important number. Also in Kabbalah, you have the right, the left, and the middle. And the middle takes the right and the left and makes the middle. And we work through the middle. It's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the same way is with the Shlosh Regalim. They are really against those three lines. Right, left, and middle. We're not going to go into it. Now, so how do I fight against Yetzer Hara? When I go into the petrol station and fill up petrol. And the petrol station in this case is the Shalosh Regalim. We get the petrol, which is the light of God, that is going into us and helping us to fight against Yetzer Hara. What do we do in Pesach? We send Yetzer Hara out. We are putting ourselves on a level so pure that we've got no connection with the Chometz. But the idea is to get to Shavuos and deal with the chometz after we build ourselves through the Sfirat HaOmer. And then we have Sukkot that comes after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which we are purified and sitting with God, where? Connecting to earth, connecting to the nature in a Sukkah, which is built from wood. From. And what do we hold in our hands?
Etrog.
Lulav and Etrog and Adasim and our earth, all things, plants from earth. In other words, we connect earth and heaven. That's our job. So if we learn how to do it right through the Shalosh Regalim, then we can fight Yetzer Hara. That's why it's Shalosh Regalim and not Shalosh Pe'amim. And that's why the angel is telling him, why did you hit your donkey 3 Regalim? Because if you don't keep the Regalim and you don't take the light, then you really get to the point of no return. But if you do keep them, you can get to a point of no return in the right way. And that's what we want. Everybody wants. There is only one thing that we have to talk. Balak, this clever guy, that our sages said that he was even a wizard, better than Bilam. So I'm telling you, he's calling this Bilam to curse Am Yisrael. And this guy is blessing them. What would you do?
Cure.
But he gives him another chance. The second chance, what is he doing? Again, blessing. And this whole thing, 7 altars and cows and things and sacrifices. And what is he doing after the second time?
Bless.
Also, lets him do it again. Only after the third time. By the way, you see again? 3. 3. 3 times. Because 3 times makes it definite. That's why when you do something good 3 times, you have to go on doing it. Mm-hmm. So you have chazaka. Mm-hmm. That's also connected to 3. So what's going on here? Balak knows Bilam. And he knows how Bilam loves Am Yisrael. And he knows that Bilam is connected to God. And he's sure that Bilam will find a way in the blessing, cursing Am Yisrael, to cross the line and curse them. And by the way, the Gemara says that if you look through the blessing, you will find out the curses he wanted to curse Am Yisrael. And unfortunately, if we go in the wrong way, we're not getting the blessing, we're getting the curses that are in the blessing. So it's not so simple what's happening here. So Balak was sure that Bilam will get to the level of cursing, but the first time, okay. Second time, okay. But the third time, he says, okay, that's it, finished. 3 times we said, it's permanent, that's it, it's nothing to do. So only then he sends him away. So the lesson for us is that this Bilam and Balak are inside us, each one of us. And we know what God wants from us, but unfortunately sometimes we try to go against it. So God is trying, is our Father in heaven. He loves us. And doesn't matter what we do, He wants to fix us. So He's showing us and putting obstacles on our way in order for us to stop for a minute and think, are we on the right way or on the wrong way? So we should make sure that we don't go get to the third level. Because at the third level, we have a problem.
But there is tshuva?
Always. But we all know, we don't want to get to a level that it's got, because we make it harder and harder and harder. And then, the point of no return, you have to understand, there are sometimes times that God prevents you from tshuva. This is when you really sin at the lowest level that can be, and you made others.
Yes.
As long as you are the sinner and you don't influence others, you can always find a way back. But when you make others sin, so you tell me now, because of you, there are a few hundred sinners that are going to get to hell. You doing tshuva, And you're going where? To heaven? After you made others sin? It's not so simple. I'm not going to go into this point right now because it's a complicated issue. But think about it. It's not fair. So that's exactly the point of no return. So as long as we go in the right way, and if we fix ourselves here and there, because we understand that there is a Bilam here and a Balak that want us to enjoy life and do things that God doesn't exactly right. So if we go through the three regalim in the right way, and we take the light, and we know how to deal with it, and if God is showing us 1 minute, there is a problem, we fix it. So then, we are on the right way. And even if we sin, make sure, don't make others sin. You did something wrong. Don't make others do something wrong, because then you are really at the bad way. But at the end of the day, we all, Baruch Hashem, sitting here and learning. And when we learn, we understand what is the right way. And from the other side, we see that even Bilam HaRasha, God wanted him to do tshuva. Even Bilam HaRasha, he was trying to teach him a lesson. So we are Baruch Hashem, not Bilam HaRasha. And our Father in heaven wants only the good for us. But he wants us to learn the parsha and understand and realize what is the right way and what is the wrong way. As I'm writing on Shabbos, people sometimes say, live the moment. You know this? Live the moment. Buddha also says the same thing. Throw whatever happens. Don't think about what's going to be. Live with yourself now, with the creation, whatever. The greatest philosophers talk about it. Live the moment. And some people think maybe that's the right way. It's the wrong way. Why is it the wrong way? You cannot live the moment without a connection with the past and the future. For example, I want to fly. I want to live the moment. So I go 70 flights up and I fly. So for a moment I fly, but then it's finished. I want to enjoy some drugs. Live the moment. Enjoy. What's happened? Hey, I don't care what's going to happen. Okay, you take drugs and then they find you one of the gardens. Finished. And that's not the only thing. You are diabetic. But you want this cake with a lot of sugar. Live the moment, they tell you. Okay, live the moment. What's there then? So in other words, it's not so simple to live the moment. You can live the moment. And you should live the moment. Because this moment is the most important moment in life. But only if it's connected to the moment before and leads you to the next moment. That's, again, three. The past, the present, and the future. With Am Yisrael, it's connected. You cannot take one. Of course, you can fix the past always. So if this philosopher tells you, forget the past, you don't forget the past. You fix the past. Doing tshuva, you can do this moment. Doesn't matter what you did. But you always are going to be connected to the future. And what you're doing now is fixing the past, but you're always connected to the past. Because with no past, there is no future. And if you have only the moment, it's only a moment. So after flying for a few moments, you find yourself on the floor, dead. Shkoyesh.